Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman member by Avram Goldar and today we're Zekas Yavamas Daf Pei, the 8th Perek HaOrel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Abahu said, Simani Sris Va'ailanis Uben Shmona Ein Osim Mehen Maisa Adshu Ben Esrim. The Simanim of a Sris and the Ailanis and a child of the 8th month, we do not act upon them until they are 20 years of age. Rashi explains regarding the child born in the 8th month of pregnancy, even if he's fully developed with hair and nails, we do not say that he's a bar kayama, a viable child, until he reaches the age of 20. The Gemara questions whether a ben shmona can live, for it was taught in a brisa, ben shmona haruka evan, a child of the 8th month is treated like a stone, and it's forbidden to move him on Shabbos. But his mother bends over him and nurses him because of sakana. Rashi explains that in addition to a danger to the baby, it's a danger to the mother to have excessive milk from not nursing, which can lead to pain and cause her death. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Avoh was referring to a case where the child was a full-term 7-month fetus who developed simanim and lingered in the womb for an additional month. Even if he was born with the simanim of a viable child, such as with fully developed hair and nails, the child is not established as a bar kayama until the age of 20. Point number two, Ustan Nebraisa, Ezu Sris Chama. Who is a Sris Chama? Koshu ben Esrim Bohevi Shtei Sa'aros. Anyone who is 20 years old and did not produce 2 pubic hairs. Even if he produced them afterwards, he's still classified as a full Sris. Among the Simanim of Sris Chama, the Braisa lists, Koshu Enul Zakin, anyone who does not have a beard, Usaru Lakuli, and the hair on his head is soft, Usaru Machlik, and his skin is smooth, Koshu En Meima Malin Rasichos, anyone whose urine does not produce foam, kol hamato maim ein osin kipa, anyone who urinates and does not form an arch, kol shorochetz b'mimosa gesham v'ein basar mal hevel, anyone who bathes in the winter and his skin does not produce vapor, and kol shakola lakwi v'ein nikker ben ish v'isha, anyone whose voice is thin and does not recognize if it's a male or female voice. The Braisa continues and defines an Ailanis as a woman who is 20 years old and did not produce 2 pubic hairs. Some of the simanim listed are koshi en lo dadim, anyone who has no breasts, miskasha b'shas tashmish, and has pain during relations, she en lo shipui me'ayim kanoshim, and she does not have a lower abdomen that bulges like an ordinary woman, but koshi kola ave, and anyone whose voice is thick and it's not clear whether it's a male or female voice. And pointing with you, the Gemara brings a machlokas amoraim regarding the simanim of a saris. Rav Huna says a person is not considered a saris ad shiyukulam until he has all of the simanim. But Rabbi Yochanan says, afil be'echem mehen, he's a saris even if he just has one of them. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if he reaches the age of 20 without producing 2 pubic hairs, he's determined to be a saris even with just one simen. The Gemara explains that everybody agrees that where he produced 2 hairs in his beard, he's not established as a saris unless all the other simanim are present. They disagree where he did not produce 2 hairs in his beard. In such a case, Rabbi Yochanan holds that one simon will establish him as a saris. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. Rabbi Abahu said, Simani saris va'ailanis u ben shmona in ose mehen maisa adshu ben esrim. The simanim of a saris, an ailanis, and a child of the 8th month, we do not act upon them until they are 20 years of age. Rashi explains regarding the child born in the 8th month of pregnancy, even if he's fully developed with hair and nails, we do not say that he's a bar kayama, a viable child, until he reaches the age of 20. The Gemara questions whether a ben shmona can live, for it was taught in a brisa, ben shmona haruka evan, a child of the 8th month is treated like a stone, and it's forbidden to move him on Shabbos. But his mother bends over him and nurses him because of sakana. Rashi explains that in addition to a danger to the baby, it's a danger to the mother to have excessive milk from not nursing, which can lead to pain and cause her death. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Avoh was referring to a case where the child was a full-term 7-month fetus who developed simanim and lingered in the womb for an additional month. Even if he was born with the simanim of a viable child, such as with fully developed hair and nails, the child is not established as a bar kayama until the age of 20. Point number 2, Ustan Nebraisa, Ezu Sris Chama. Who is a Sris Chama? Koshu ben Esrim Bohevi Shtei Sa'aros. Anyone who is 20 years old and did not produce 2 pubic hairs. Even if he produced them afterwards, he's still classified as a full Sris. Among the Simanim of Sris Chama, the Braisa lists, Koshu Enul Zakin, anyone who does not have a beard, Usaru Lakuli, and the hair on his head is soft, Usaru Machlik, and his skin is smooth, Koshu En Meima Malin Rasichos, anyone whose urine does not produce foam, kol hamato maim ein osin kipa, anyone who urinates and does not form an arch, kol shorochetz b'mimosa gesham v'ein basar mal hevel, anyone who bathes in the winter and his skin does not produce vapor, and kol shakola lakwi v'ein nikker ben ish v'isha, anyone whose voice is thin and does not recognize if it's a male or female voice. The Braisa continues and defines an Ailanis as a woman who is 20 years old and did not produce 2 pubic hairs. Some of the simanim listed are koshi en lo dadim, anyone who has no breasts, miskasha b'shas tashmish, and has pain during relations. She ain't like she puli may I am kanashim, and she does not have a lower abdomen that bulges like an ordinary woman, but kol shekola ava, and anyone whose voice is thick and it's not clear whether it's a male or female voice. And pointing with you, the Gemara brings a machlokas on Marayim regarding the simanim of a saris. Rav Huna says a person is not considered a saris ad shiyukulam until he has all of the simanim, but Rabbi Yochanan says, afil be'echa mehen, he's a saris even if he just has one of them. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if he reaches the age of 20 without producing two pubic hairs, he's determined to be a saris even with just one simon. The Gemara explains that everybody agrees that where he produced two hairs in his beard, he's not established as a saris unless all the other simanim are present. They disagree where he did not produce two hairs in his beard. In such a case, Rabbi Yochanan holds that one simon will establish him as a saris. All right, so now we go to Simur Daf Pei. And our standard simon used to be payday, but payday was a bit abstract. So then I morphed it into payday of a painter. And now moving forward, we're just going to stick with painter. It's just simple and easier and better to use as a simon. So painter is a simon for pay. So here goes. The painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month reaching his 20th birthday used his Sris Chama and Ioni's anatomy book as a guide to paint a picture of a saris with all the simanim. Once again in slow motion. The painter, that must be around Daf Pei. The painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month reaching his 20th birthday, which reminds us, according to Rabbi Avo, a child born in the 8th month of pregnancy, even if he's fully developed with hair and nails, we do not say that he's a bar kayama, a viable child, until he reaches the age of 20. The more questions whether a ben shmona can live, for it was taught in a brisa, ben shmona haruka evan, a child of the 8th month is treated like a stone, and is forbidden to move him on Shabbos. The more answers Rabbi Avo was referring to a case where the child was a full-term 7-month fetus, who developed simanim and lingered in the womb for an additional month. Even if he was born with the simanim of a viable child, such as with fully developed hair and nails, the child is not established as a bar kayama until the age of 20. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month, reaching his 20th birthday, used his Sris Chama and Ioni's anatomy book as a guide, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a brisa that listed the very simanim for a Sris Chama and an Ioni's. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month, reaching his 20th birthday, used his Sris Chama and Ioni's anatomy book as a guide to paint a picture of a saris with all the simanim. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas of Marayim regarding the simanim of a saris. Rav Huna says a person is not considered a saris ad shiyukuam until he has all of the simanim, but Rabbi Yochanan says, afil be'echa mehen, he's a saris even if he has just one of them. So once again. The painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month, reaching his 20th birthday, uses Sris Chama and Ioni's anatomy book as a guide to paint a picture of a saris with all the simanim. All right, now it's time for four ba'al chazara. Ein Vav, so the Simur Daf Ein Vav is an IV tube, an intravenous tube. So here goes. The Petsua Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, that must be Daf Ein Vav, intravenous tube. The Petsua Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, which reminds us, Rosh Sheshes was asked, Petsua Daka Kohen, Mahu B'Gior's Meshuchereres? Regarding a Petsua Daka Kohen, what is the law regarding marrying a Gior's or Meshuchereres? Do we say that he remains in his kahuna level of Kedusha and is forbidden to her, or does he not remain in that level and is permitted to her? He answered that if Petsua Daka Yisrael is permitted to marry a Nesina, then a Petsua Daka Kohen does not remain in his level of Kedusha and may marry a Gior's or a freed slave woman. So the Petsua Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, hallucinated that he had a son named Peretz, dressed up in oversized battle armor. Which reminds us, when David went out to fight Goliath, Shaul wanted to know if David descended from Peretz or Zerach. If he descends from Peretz, he will be a king. Shalmelch Poretz Lasos Zerach, for a king may break through Poretz, other people's fences, to make a path for himself, and no one can protest against him. If he descends from Zerach, Hashiva Ba'almahavi, he will be merely Chashiv. The reason Shaul asked about him is that Shaul saw that when he gave David his battle garments, they fit David, even though Shaul was taller than everyone. Since his garments fit David miraculously, Shaul asked if he was destined for Malchus. So the Petsua Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, hallucinated that he had a son named Peretz, dressed up in oversized battle armor, who'd go out and greet travelers with bread and water. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates that Doaka Adomi said to Shaul, before he asked whether David is fit for Malchus or not, ask whether he's fit to marry into the Kahal, because he comes from Rus, who was a Moabi. When Avner responded that it was taught Ammoni v'lo Ammonis, Moabi v'lo Moavis, the Torah only prohibits the males and not the females of Ammon and Moab, Doeg countered that when the Pasuk says Mamzer, does it not refer to a Mamzeris as well? And the Pasuk says Mitzri, does it not also refer to a Mitzris? Avner responded that it is different in the case of an Ammoni and Moabi, since the Torah explicitly said the reason is because they did not greet you with bread and water on the road when you were leaving Mitzrayim. It's the way for men to greet travelers with bread and water, but not for women to do so. Doeg continues to challenge Avner, and on the next daf, the issue is resolved. Daf Ein Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Ein Zayin is a goat. So here goes. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back. Goat? That must be more on Daf Ein Zayin. A's. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back, to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition, which reminds us, continuing the account of Doeg's challenges to David's yichus, the Gemara reconciles contradictory psukim wherein one pasuk, Amasa, was married to David's sister is referred to as the son of Yisra HaYisraeli, and another pasuk his father is referred to as Yeser HaYishmaeli. Rav explained that when Doeg wanted to disqualify David, Shechigar Harbo Ki Yishmael, that Yeser girded his sword like Yishmaeli and said, Kol mi she'enu shomei halacha zo yedakar becherev, whoever does not accept the halacha shall be impaled by the sword, for I have received a tradition from the base of Shmuel that the Torah prohibits Ammoni v'lo Ammonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, and therefore David is permitted to marry into the Kahal. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck. Which reminds us, Rav expanded, what's the meaning of that which is written, Petachtu Moserai, you've released my yoke straps. David said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shnei Moserai Shehayu Alai Pitaktem, the two straps were upon me, you have released Rus HaMoaviah and Naama HaAmonis. Naama was the wife of David's son Shlomo and the mother of his grandson Rechavam. Therefore, there were two yoke straps who were potentially harmful to the yichus of David's malchus, Rus from Moab and Naama from Ammon. Now that the halach has been resolved, permitting female converts from these nations to marry into the Kahal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu released David from these yoke straps. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck and give the goat as a gift to the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis who was about to marry a Kohen. Which reminds us, we have the Malchus, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, whether the daughter of an Ammoni ger and an Yisraelis is fit for the kohuna. Daf Ein Ches, so the Simmer Daf Ein Ches is a child going uch. So here goes. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went uch, child going uch, that must be more on Daf Ein Ches. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went uch, that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, which reminds us, the pasuk regarding Mitzri and Edomi convert states, Vanimashi Yavaldu Lehem Dor Shlishi Yabu Lehem B'Kahal Hashem. Sons who are born to them in the third generation may enter into the Kahal of Hashem. I'll raise the questions, if sons are mentioned, why are generations mentioned, and vice versa? And the answer is, if sons were stated and generations were not stated, I would have said, Ben Rishon Mesheni Aser Shlishi Mutter, that the first and second son are Aser, but the third son is Mutter. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Doros, generations, and if generations were stated and sons were not stated, I would have said, Osana Omdim Har Sinai. The Torah is referring to those standing at Har Sinai. So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went Uch, that took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevila, which reminds us that if Rabbi Yochanan does not say Uber Ki Yerachimo, that a fetus is considered like the thigh of its mother, how does it sit with Rava, who said, Nachus Mu'uberish Nisgaira Bana Ain't Sarach Tevila? If a pregnant Gentile woman converted, her child does not require immersion. The child is not considered the thigh of its mother, but rather it's a separate entity. Why does the child not require its own tevilah? So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went ugh, that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevilah, and went ugh again when the famine in the land entered its third year. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates David's efforts to determine what was the cause of a famine that ended up lasting 3 years. Eventually asked the Urim and Tumim, and Hashem replied that the famine is for Shaul in that they did not eulogize Shaul properly, and also for Shaul's sin that he killed the Givonim. The Gemara clarifies that since Shaul massacred the inhabitants of Nov, the city of Kohanim who supplied the Givonim with water and food, the Pasuk regards it as though Shaul killed them. Ein Tes, so the similar Ein Tes is a pen, and we often use a sofer with a quill. So here goes. The angry scribe, that must be more duff. Ein Tes. The angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at seven hanging corpses, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that David decreed against the Nisim when he sought to appease them, and they said they wanted him to give them seven of Shaul's sons to hang. David sought an alternative way to appease him, but they would not be appeased. David said, Shosh simanim yesh bu'umazo, there are three simanim of this nation, referring to Bnei Yisrael, harachamanim, baishanim, v'gomlech chosanim, with a merciful, bashful, and do acts of kindness, kol sheyesh bo shosh simanim ha'u, ruhi lidabek bu'umazo. Whoever has these three simanim is worthy to cleave to this nation through marriage. Rashi explains that since the Givonim lacked rachamim, David decreed that they may not marry Jews. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at seven hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, which reminds us, there were multiple decrees against the Nassim. Moshe decreed for that generation, Yeshua decreed while the temple stood, and David decreed against him for even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at seven hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, when he overheard someone call his father Asris Chama moments before his death, which reminds us, Rava said that if only having a shas of kosher, a period of suitability, does not create a need for chalitza, eno chayisha shekasher lo yabam, you'll never have a woman that is fit for yibum. For there is no widow whose husband did not become a Sus Chama for one moment prior to his death. The Gemara answers that there it's merely a weakness that has begun for him, not actual sterility. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.